Butts on pillows, butts on blankets.
My okay. butt is on a pillow.
Good.
Okay.
I was worried about you peeing on the couch.
Don't make me laugh or I might.
Why can't we record this part?
I am recording. Okay. I've been recording it the whole
Thank
time.
Thank God. That's the intro right okay. there. Okay. That's the fucking intro. I'm not joking.
I'm Tamara.
And I'm Rel.
And this is Fearful Friends Podcast. Welcome. I'm so happy it's Friday.
Is it Friday? Wow. I guess in a normal world, it feels like that.
Yeah. I mean, I have to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
But...
I was going to say, in the endless world of retail, do we really have a Friday?
It makes a difference. Honestly, yeah. Fridays are my long day, so I really hate it. But
Fridays are
it's
my
over.
Short day.
It's over.
I feel bad now.
I'm so happy it's over.
Good for you.
Yeah. So.
And now you have one more day.
What's been going on with life?
I'm just tired.
You're really tired.
I'm just tired.
I can tell. I can tell in your eyes.
I'm tired.
You're tired.
Yeah. I don't know why. I just. A whole bunch of my coworkers too were just. They're feeling the same way. So I don't know if it's something with the moon, the tides. Maybe it's the rain that maybe came today that some people said came today, but I have no evidence of it at all because my plants are all dying and dry. I don't know.
It did rain for like 10 minutes. I feel like the clients have been not only crazy, but like they're not going back up north.
A lot more people have moved down here this year.
Yeah, and it's just been really, really, like, busy at times when we're not normally busy.
Yeah.
And it's just really exhausting.
I mean, I don't know what your numbers are like, but I think my mother-in-law told me that, like, the numbers in the city that I live in, we grew by, like, what was it, like, 300 or 400,000 just in the last year alone. That's a fuckload.
Yeah.
Of people. And, like, they're staying here. Like, they moved down here when there was, like, the housing crisis. And we're like, we're going to stay even though it's way overpriced and can't afford anything here and there's no jobs.
Right. Well, because they can't afford stuff here,
right,
we can't.
Exactly. Yeah. They're forcing us out. Us normal people.
Literally. I still live in the town where I grew up in.
I literally don't know how you still afford to live there.
We're just lucky.
Because my husband and I... We used to live there, and then we moved a little bit further south because it was cheaper, and then we had to move up north because it was cheaper, and then up north got too expensive, so we had to go for a little bit further north to buy our house.
Yeah.
Since we're getting forced out, and man, your landlord must not be paying attention.
They are, but we just have to be, like, the best tenants ever, and, like...
Fix shit yourself. Yeah, you have basically. To like pay for all the, you had to like paint yourself and all this other stuff.
Yeah. And we're just lucky. But even while I was driving up here, I was on the phone with my sister and I was like, what if I move up here? And she's like, everybody is moving up here. I'm like, I know
everybody
because
is moving up here.
Because we are just getting priced out. And it, like the place where I have been raised, was educated and work in, I can't even afford to live there.
Yeah.
And nobody can. Like, I have clients that are police officers in the town that I work in, and they're moving up here where you live. Mm-hmm. They're being priced out of,
you
like,
know that
they protect
I see,
that community.
I see police officers from your city more than I see police officers from my own city.
Right. It's absolutely insane. My parents built their house on an acre of land in... the 80s for an acre of land and a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house with 2 living rooms, 2-car garage, big house.
Yeah.
$82,000. Okay. To purchase the land and build a house.
It makes me like
sick. Do you know
sick
that house,
what I paid for my house,
that house is worth $600,000.
That house? I've been to that house.
Yeah.
The work that it needs?
Yeah. It's done now. The work has been done.
So after the work is done, it's
$600,000? Yeah, I mean, just like right now, it's it's worth.
Woof.
Yeah. And homes,
damn,
in
your mom should have held on to it.
I know. There's a lot of homes in that neighborhood that are like $1 million now because you can build a huge house on an acre.
Yeah.
Some of them are an acre and a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
It's stupid. And, then,
and everybody wants to go rural now.
Yeah. And then the neighborhood that I live in, which is the very next neighborhood that to that where I grew up, where we have a lot smaller lands, like we have like a quarter acre. There's still like $500,000 for a house. It's stupid. I'm not going to pay that much money for that.
You're also next to the college. You're next to... It's quite a hoity-toity area now.
Yeah.
I mean, before it was just like residential.
When I was normal. A child, that road that I live on was farms. It was just farms. That's it. And you could... It was such a cool place because you can live by these farms and then you drive. We're literally 6 miles from the beach.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's why everyone loves it. And
it was the secret, yeah. You know? It was the secret. And then the secret spread. And
yeah.
Now, like, my mother-in-law works for the tourism for the county that we live in. And they're constantly telling... Their new mantra is... Don't move here. I'm not even joking. I'm pretty sure there's an article that says don't move here. And then they're just like, keep it the little gem that it is and shit like that. But it's too late. It's too late. That's 5 years too late.
Yeah. But
I mean, even like up here where I am, like this was like our last fucking resort. Like of where we wanted to live. Just because it's, like, so far from everything that we love, mm-hmm. You know? But even the roads up here cannot handle the traffic that has moved here.
Yeah. I don't know. I might be moving up here one day. I've been looking
for... No, by the time you move up here, I'll probably be moving up to North Carolina.
Right. God, please don't do that. Please. I will...
You could come with me.
What? Me and who? I have all of my family.
Your family.
They won't move. You can't leave me. We're not going to discuss this right now.
I can't stay here in Florida.
You can't leave me. I can't discuss this right now.
I love you. It's very far in the future.
Okay.
Very, very far.
Okay.
Just bought this house.
Okay. That makes me feel a little better.
Just bought this house.
So... I came prepared to tell you about the haunting in my house.
Which house?
The house I live in.
Your current house?
Yes. So, there are twists and turns in this story. Are you ready?
New?
Yeah. Like, twist and turns.
Did something recently happen?
Yes.
Tell me everything.
So, backstory on my house. Before moving in there.
Tell everyone the address.
No. I not only knew that someone died in my house, but I knew that person.
And how she died.
And she had a son, and I had watched her son a few times. And then after she died, I watched him a lot more. So I kind of knew the backstory. And anyway, I moved into this house, and before we moved in, I find out that that's where she died and whatever. So I was fully prepared to, like, I bought sage and all this to, like, you know.
Because that's, yes.
Yeah. You know, but I moved into the house and hasn't been anything, like, negative or terrifying. I've never had to use it.
It's very cold in there.
Because I like it really cold.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you should see the FPL bill.
Are you sure it's not a ghostly presence?
If the ghostly presence could make my house cold without me using air conditioning, right? That would be so nice.
Think about the savings.
Come hang out
in
my room.
We should all kill people in our houses. I'm not condoning that.
She died from an overdose in my house.
So okay. She was probably very
Wasn't
hot.
My house. This was...
She's probably very hot.
Yeah. Long time before I lived there. Anyway. So... A few things that I've heard in my house, everyone's asleep and I hear someone down the hallway go, hey, so chilling, but whatever. And it's always been during the day, thank goodness. So a few weeks ago, Rich had COVID and I was sleeping out on the couch because I'm the best wife ever.
You are. I wouldn't have done that.
Well, I didn't want
to. I don't care if you're sick. You're staying in bed with me.
I didn't want to get COVID. Anyway, you would have risked it.
I did 3 times and I still haven't gotten COVID.
You haven't had COVID at all? And Matt had COVID 3 times. 3 times. You haven't had COVID. You've had to. You probably just.
I've tested. So like every time I've gotten deathly ill, I have tested and I have tested negative.
Wow.
Yeah. So unless I had it and like didn't have any symptoms, I mean, I don't know. Sorry, go on.
So I was sleeping out on the couch and in the middle of the night, I think I told you this, I heard Em get up and like walk out.
Yes, you told me this the last time I was at your house, and I was like fucking terrified.
And I turn around.
Then your daughter looks at me like, hi.
I turn around to like look at her and be like, why are you up? And she's not there. Like, I heard footprints from the hallway into my living room. So creepy. And then I was just hearing other things, just noises. And I was like, whatever. I'm just not used to sleeping out on the couch, and like, I'm by the kitchen, and things just make noise. It's this. Normal.
Yeah.
So.
Except for when it's not. Right.
So then a week goes by and I'm back to like sleeping in my room. And I get up in the morning and stuff is just moved. For instance, there's an Easter egg from Easter in the middle of my living room. And Easter was like a month and a half ago.
A month ago, yes.
And so there's no reason for this Easter egg. Like, it wasn't there when I went to bed. Why is there an Easter egg in the middle of my living room? Just a plastic pink Easter egg. And then I have these.
Maybe your daughter found it somewhere.
But she was asleep.
Maybe she found it like the day before.
But I would have noticed that it was just in the middle of my living room.
That's fair. Okay.
And
I got nothing then.
And then I have these two white fake planter things that I have fake flowers and stuff in. And 2 days in a row, I woke up and a flower pick that you would make like a wreath with was taken out of it and put on the ground. And I've had these since my wedding. I haven't touched them or changed any of the arrangement inside of it. And somehow the one piece of the arrangement has been taken out and put on the ground in front of it.
Are you sure it wasn't your daughter? I'm not trying to blame her.
Again, it always happens when I wake up in the morning. Normally, I would have thought it was her.
Your husband has been sick. Maybe he did it in a weird fever dream.
He is weird, but it's not that weird.
He's probably fucking with you because he knew you would read too much into it.
No, it was just so weird. So
maybe you got fucked up or something and knocked the flower out of the thing.
No. So then you, another like,
picked
day.
It out in a stoned stupor. Also, put it on the ground and was like, man, this will be a trip for me in the morning.
Just fuck with sober me. I wish. Yeah. I wish I was that interesting. Another day, I woke up and a packing tape, and I don't even know where this packing tape is. Like, you know, like clear tape you would tape up boxes with, mm-hmm. whatever it's called.
Packing tape.
Okay. Oh, good. Good. You looked at me like I was a crazy person.
I just love the hand gestures. Nobody else can see them but me.
I walk into my laundry room. I open the door and it's sitting on the floor in my laundry room. Just in the floor, in the middle of the floor.
Maybe it fell off the shelf.
Maybe it did, but I don't even know where this packing tape has come from. I haven't even seen packing tape
probably
in a very
on
long
the
time.
Shelf. Yeah, how often but do like, you go still, in your laundry room and look around?
Still. It was just weird. And then I'm hearing weird noises in my house. And I'm like, we have a poltergeist. Something is going on.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you guess where the story's going?
Did you get a exorcist?
I almost did, but no.
Did you have your mother come over?
No. That would have been worse.
She would banish the ghosts. I feel like your mother has done several sages in her life.
She has, yeah.
Go away.
No, she would just be like, Tamara, there's nothing to worry about. It's just a ghost. Go back to sleep.
I'm a ghost. You're not scared of me, are you?
No. Here comes the twist.
Is Rich the ghost?
No.
Okay.
I walk into the living room, or into the laundry room, and do you know what it is? You know what it is.
Uh-huh.
Say it.
I don't want to, because what if it's not, and then I out you in front of all of our guests?
Is it
the rat?
Yep.
Shut the fuck up.
Yep. First it was a mouse.
First it was a mouse, and the mouse grew into a rat.
There was food on the ground in my laundry room, and it just clicked. I was like, this ghost.
He's the one pulling the flowers out of my bouquet.
It's fucking Mickey Mouse. And so I set up this humane trap because we had a mouse before once, and it was around the same time of year, and it was right when we had started the seasonal rain. And so I had been thinking, you know, oh, I got to be careful of mice because it's going to start raining and whatever. And we have a little crawl space under our house, so sometimes they get in. I know. And that's a good face.
You have a crawl space under your house?
Yeah.
It's like Florida.
I know. But I have a fake floor.
Hurricanes. What?
I know. You know that fake floor I have? It's like an elevated crawl space too. That's creepy. It floods.
It's Jeffrey Dahmer shit right there. There's probably bodies in there.
There's garbage in there. From the rats. I'm not going to clean it.
That's haunting. I don't like it at all.
Anyway.
Please just fill it with concrete.
So I set a humane trap. And I trapped the rat. It was in a bucket. I made a little trap so it would fall in the bucket. No, it was tiny and it was so cute.
Rat?
No, it was a mouse.
Okay.
And
rats are not cute. Mouses are cute.
Yeah.
Rats are not cute. Rats have very thick tails like fingers.
Yeah. I took the mouse, drove it to the back of my neighborhood, released it by a canal.
Wow, it's a lot of work.
Right, I didn't want to kill it, and Rich wanted to kill it.
I would just put it in the front yard.
Well, then it's just going to get back in. You have to drive him away.
It's not like a puppy.
They will just go back. You have to drive him at least a mile away.
Sorry.
So I released it, and then I took that bucket, and I filled it with hot water, and I put a dish detergent tab in it, and I was going to let it soak overnight because I had put peanut butter in the bucket.
Gotta break down that grease.
Yeah. So I get up the next day. There are two dead mice that have drowned themselves. Yes.
You drove all that way?
I know.
No.
And I felt so bad. And so Rich got rid of it. And then he's like, maybe I'm imagining it, but I feel like when I went to go grab that bucket, something else moved. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
I'm going to die.
Oh, also, while this was happening, they got up and chewed through bags of bread. I had hot dog buns, hamburger buns, and a loaf of bread. And I had stuck them on top of my microwave. And
so they're just like all over your kitchen.
Yeah, they chewed through it. So
they're just like pooping all over your kitchen.
So disgusting. Yes. And so they had gotten into my new got into my new groceries, and that was it. I had had it. We ordered next day shipping on some really powerful traps. And so I come home on my lunch break the next day, set these traps, and these are mean fucking snapping traps that will kill you. They'll take your finger off.
Great.
Yeah.
It's good to have when you have a six-year-old in your house.
Right. They're called T-Rex traps. If anyone needs them, they work. I'm telling you.
In case you want to snap your finger off.
We're calling our exterminator. We're like, we need you. And he's like, I'm out of town. I'm not anywhere near you. And I'm like,
You're fired, sir.
So next day shipping, I set those up on my lunch break, went to sit down to eat, and instantly heard a snap. And I was like, oh my God.
I'm like traumatized.
I know. Right now. And I'm I felt bad. So I text Rich. I was like, I already got one. And he's like, all right, go get it. I'm like, I'm literally eating. I'm not going to like
go get it now.
And he's like, well, do it after you eat. And I'm like, why do you think I'm married? I could be single and do this. What?
But I'm not.
No, you're going to clean up the rat or you're going to call an exterminator to come do it. I'm not. And at this point, I still just think it's mice. Okay. So, yeah, that was a mouse. He came home, caught that mouse, reset this trap. The next morning we get up. There's two dead rats. They are a foot long, including their tail. Huge rats. I have never seen rats in my house.
Tamara.
Traumatizing.
Why? Where? Why? How?
I've never seen rats.
How are they coming in? Where are the holes? What's going on? That's the thing.
We've had all of the holes sealed up because of years ago. Like, it was probably 2 years ago.
Coming in through your dryer?
We found
what's going on?
One mouse in the house. So we got everything all sealed up. So now we have to have this crawl space resealed.
Yeah.
And every little hole around of our house.
Every single perimeter of my house looking for a hole.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Mm-mm.
We've had it done, so it has to be redone, whatever. But, ugh. And then after that, we caught one more mouse. And since then, we haven't caught any in like a week.
That was it?
Yeah. So I'm out talking to my neighbors, and they're like, yeah, we see rats running across the fence. We share a backyard fence. They're like, we see them running across the fence at night. And I'm like, oh my God. And my boss lives in my neighborhood too, so I was telling her about it, and she said on our Facebook group for our neighborhood that so many people are having issues with mice and rats in their house right now in our neighborhood.
Do you guys have like trash pickup issues?
No.
So there's no garbage sitting out?
No.
That is so weird. Like, really.
And it all started when we had those, it was like a week straight of rain.
Maybe it drove them out from their homes and now.
Yeah.
Do rats like hibernate? Is that a thing?
I have no idea, but it's been so disgusting. We have gone through so much cleaning stuff. And also, I still have those traps just set. So
just in case.
Yeah. So we have our laundry room like closed off and. Ugh.
That I'm traumatized for you.
So I would kind of rather have a ghost.
I would also rather have a ghost. I mean, like, mouses are cute, but, like, I don't want them in my house.
No, they're
dirty. If I see them outside, I'm like, oh, look at you. No.
And we also have these two cats that live on our street that are like stray, but we all take care of them.
Why aren't they eating the rats?
Oh, they are. I've been noticing how chunky they've been getting lately. And then last week when I was driving home from your house, I didn't get home until 1 o'clock. And I see on the corner, one of those cats has a mouse in its mouth.
So there's just too many. They can't keep up.
Yeah.
We need to release more cats.
I've been thinking about getting a cat.
Ugh, don't do that.
Why? My sister got a cat. I was literally
an
at
outdoor
work.
Cat?
No, it would be an indoor cat. I was at work thinking like, oh, I should get a cat. My sister, her and her roommate have two cats. And like, people just like end up with cats. Like, how come I don't end up with a cat? And then she FaceTimes me with a new kitten in her hand. And I was like, I need a cat. I've got mice in my house.
She already had a kitten.
Yeah. So now they have three cats. She's got the cat for a few years. And then her roommate got a little black kitten. And now she got another kitten.
You need a dog.
I could get both.
Okay, you're getting a cat for your mouse problems. What happens when you come home and you see a mouse in your cat's mouth? Are you gonna dig it out? No, but you can't let it eat it.
Why?
It's very furry. It's gonna make it constipated. Lulu ate 3 blades of grass yesterday and threw up in her bed her entire dinner. You think that a cat's not gonna throw up any rat hair?
I don't know. My mom's cat, that big one she had, used to bring home cats, and not cats, rats, bunnies, birds, lizards.
That's traumatizing.
Yeah. He was a hunter.
I'm also a hunter.
Yeah. What kind of hunter?
Carbs.
Carbs. I love them. I was going to say cheeseburgers.
I was going to say men, and I was like, I'm married. Can't hunt men anymore.
So, on to the bitching.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Okay. What are we bitching about?
I wanted.
I thought that was the bitching.
No, no, that was that was just my life.
Fucking rats. All right, continue, I guess.
It is so traumatizing. Plus, Emily has to tell everybody now we have rats in our fucking house.
She's going to be the rat girl.
Anyway, no, I wanted to talk about someone we both know. Someone I hate.
Can we say names? I still can't picture her. But, I mean, like, I kind of picture her. Scratch off lady.
Yeah.
Always lingering way too long. Oh, and then if somebody is behind her and trying to rush her, she gets really snooty with them about it.
Or just behind her in line.
Yes. She gets, like, really weird.
Yeah, and she'll make comments to them, like, excuse me, back up.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, she makes this a scene is a line. About it. She makes a scene. And she would only let certain people ring her up, which is really fucking aggravating when you're doing shit. And, like, you have someone specific running customer service because this is how we need things to go. And she won't allow them to help her.
What she did to you? Who hurt you?
She hurt me? No. So she's just a nasty lady. She's also, like, just a fucking conservative that likes to voice her opinion. And
ew.
I don't really care for that. I don't care that you're a conservative. I just care that I don't want to hear your opinion. I didn't ask. Please don't tell me.
I'm at work.
And like,
I'm not here to listen to you talk about your opinion.
Yeah. And fucking read the room. Like, I'm in a customer service setting, so I have to, like, be nice and agree with you. I'm not actually fucking agreeing with you.
Oh, I don't agree with anybody about their fucking your ass views.
Well, I do, because I'm not going to get fired and get into an argument with
you're
these
not
stupid
get
people.
Fired.
No, I will. We have to kiss their asses.
I'm sorry. Some guy came up to me the other day and said the egg shortage was bullshit, contraband made up by the same people who made up COVID. And I'm like, yes, sir. A lot of people have died from COVID. So that's not true. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, we just have to smile and nod at them.
No.
Like, if they say something like...
It's just because you deal directly with money. Yes. Also, yeah. I don't wear a name tag, so that helps. Yeah. I get away with a lot.
I hardly ever wear a name tag. Somehow, they still know my name.
Redhead bitch.
Oh, yeah. I wish that they would just call me the redhead girl. No. No, they call me... The girl with glasses is what I get a lot.
Aww.
Also, God, what did the guy call me? The robust girl?
Oh.
That's what one client ew. Called me.
What a cunt.
Like, my boss, like, was telling me the story, and I was like, you could have left out that detail. Like, you didn't have to tell me that part.
I think he just wanted to hammer it home what a dick this guy was.
But anyway... So I have to, like, be nice and be like, uh-huh, okay, sure, here's your money. Bye-bye. Right, yep. Thank you.
I hate it so much.
Yep, okay.
This is why I do everything.
Oh, right, okay. You don't have any money and it's the president's fault. Okay, all right, cool.
Then why are you at a bank?
Here's your money. Bye-bye. Let's go. Get out of here. But she has been begging me.
Meanwhile, she spends all of her fucking money on scratch-offs and lottery tickets. Yeah. Bitch.
Yeah. She has been begging me since we worked together years ago to take me out to lunch. And I'm like, lady, I am scared of you. You only think that I like you because I just want you to get out of here and be nice to me.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to make this situation, our interaction, as pleasant as possible. And I just want to get you out of here as fast as possible.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to deal with you because I know you're a loose cannon. And if one little thing happens, you're going to fly off the fucking rails and it's going to be dangerous for all of us.
Truly.
So she just thinks I'm her best friend. So she's like, let me take you to lunch. And I'm like, yeah, you got to kidnap me out of here because I never get lunches. I wish I could go to lunch with you. Like,
you know, when you say that, she's going to talk to your boss and be like, hey, you need to let her go to lunch. And he's gonna be like, oh, okay. See, got you off the hook. Come with me. Let's go to Olive Garden.
My boss thankfully knows all the details with this lady and how my boss would just play along. Thank God. And so would anybody else in the branch. It's fucking ridiculous. And I just, every time she comes in, I cringe and like my stomach drops. And anyway, that's my bitching. I just wanted to bitch about someone we both knew.
Yeah.
So do you have a distraction for me? I'm so excited that I get to sit back and listen.
I have a story.
Okay, hold on.
It's a... Hold on. What's wrong?
Sorry, I just wanted to take a sip break.
You're listening. You can take a sip break.
Listen, I burnt my mouth with frozen pizza. It was cooked. But I was like,
did you freezer burn your mouth?
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. So today, I'm going to tell you, you've probably heard this story because I think it's been like pretty, I've heard it on a couple podcasts, but I can't remember if it's the same, a couple that you and I have listened to. The Lost Girls of Panama, Lissanne Froom, and
I love this story.
I hate this story because it gives me the fucking heebs. So I've heard it from three different podcasts. I've watched a documentary about it. I just feel like every single time I look into it, there's just like, it should be solved.
Yeah, something's not right.
It should fucking be solved.
I'm so excited really for you upsetting. To tell this to me. Oh, I mean, I love this story. But I forget everything.
I also forget everything.
All I remember is like looking at the pictures.
The goddamn
online.
Spooky ass pictures.
Yeah.
Which I like watch several videos trying to like, whatever, we'll get to it. I don't know. I hate the pictures. Okay, so Lissanne Froon and Chris Kremers both grew up together in Amersfoort in the Netherlands. I hope I pronounced that right. They recently graduated from university and had been working at a cafe together. This kind of makes me like kind of sad. They lived together. They like moved in together like a couple months before this trip. And they were like working together at a cafe and they were like saving money together to on this trip together. And I was like, oh, it's gonna make me into man.
I know. I was thinking that. Oh. Also, I want like a croissant or something right now because you said bakery.
So. Cafe. Okay. I said cafe. Also, I don't have croissants, but I have bagels.
Not good. I want chocolates
and plant-based cream cheese that tastes like Play-Doh.
No, what's wrong with you?
Yum, yum, yum. It's not great. So they were saving for 6 months for a trip abroad. They decided on Panama because they both wanted to volunteer at a local children's school. They wanted to learn a little Spanish, have a little vacation on the side, but also like be kind of like philanthropic and, you know, teach where they could. And also it's easier to learn Spanish when you're in it, you know?
Yeah.
So on March 15th of 2014, they arrived in Panama and began touring the country for the first few weeks of their vacation. They spent time at the beaches and exploring, taking pictures the entire time. The trip was very well documented in their cameras and social media and stuff like that. And it looked like they were having a fucking blast. So March 29th, they traveled to Boquete on the west side of Panama, where the school was that they were going to be volunteering at. But due to a miscommunication between them and the staff, they arrived a week early and would have to wait to work with the children. So in the meantime, they decided to stay in the area to sightsee. The women had hired a tour guide for April 2nd to take them hiking on some trails in the area because many of the trails in the area are really tricky to navigate if you're not familiar with the environment because you're in like dense jungle area and there's mountains. They're essentially like around a volcano and stuff like that. For some reason, Lissanne and Chris decided to head out a day early on their own. So on April 1st, they headed out on El Pianista Trail, which takes you around the active Baru volcano and into the cloud forest, which sounds
it does.
Fucking amazing. Like, I was looking at pictures of, like, the actual hike, And I'm like, fuck, I miss hiking so much.
The cloud forest sounds...
It's very wet. But if you don't mind, like, the humidity, I think it would be fucking gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like, I fucking hate humidity. According to alltrails.com, it's about 5 miles to the summit and back with an elevation of 6,000 feet. Which, like, isn't too bad. When Matt and I went to North Carolina... One of the mountains that we climbed up was around 6,000 feet elevation. So it's not like, it's not crazy, but it wasn't easy
at all. You climbed a mountain?
But also we went in the winter, which is like super dry. So imagine like climbing that when everything's wet, fucking slippery. I don't know. It should take the average hiker about 5 or 6 hours round trip to complete. So there and back. It's rated as moderately challenging, but many of the reviews on the website talk about how dangerous it can be in the rainy season because of flash floods and mudslides and slippery conditions. Not only that, but the trail also takes you deep into the cloud forest, so it's thick with dense jungle vegetation and it's foggy as hell because after a certain point up into the mountains, you're literally above the clouds. So, pretty fucking sweet. Uh-huh. At 11 a.m., they set out on the trail, carrying with them one backpack, 2 phones, a Canon digital camera, about $80 in cash, their passports, the clothes on their backs, and 1 water bottle. So they obviously weren't planning on being out very long. This wasn't going to be a multi-day trip. They had 1 water bottle between the 2 of them.
I will never share a water bottle with you.
No. But I'm a thirsty bitch.
Yeah.
I need more than 1 water bottle. Sitting in... I take 3 water bottles with me wherever I go.
Just sitting in this room, we have 3 drinks on the table.
And both of mine are empty. According to the photos that they had taken on their journey, they had reached the summit by about 1 p.m. And instead of turning and heading back down the trail... They continued forward, which was not recommended, and it was super dangerous. There's speculation that there was like a waterfall nearby, so maybe they were trying to like reach the waterfall, and maybe they thought they would be able to head back before dark. But when you go off the trails, it's fucking fair game. I mean,
oh god,
there's trails for tourists, and then there's trails for like local indigenous people, and it's like if you don't know those fucking trails. I ain't right.
I'm just picturing some of the hikes that we've gone on. Like, do you remember
like Cypress Creek, where like every like literally the only way that you can tell where you are is by little spray paint notches in the trees, and if the bark peels off, you're like, oh my god, where am I?
Yeah, we were hiking and the grass was like, or whatever, it was like dense up to our knees. Yeah. That we were hiking
and
through.
We were bitching. It was a good time, but we were bitching. Not great.
That was scary enough.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine doing this.
And not just think about like all the bugs. They're in the rainforest.
Yeah. I don't want to think about the bugs.
Bullet ants.
I don't.
Which chew through your skin.
I don't even want to think about the bugs that were around when we were hiking.
Yeah. I'm more worried about snakes, but there in the jungle, I'm like, bullet ants, fuck that.
There's probably some scary snakes too.
Yeah, but.
And spiders.
Think about them. I'm not going to think about them. We're not thinking about the spiders.
All right.
We're not doing that.
Move on.
Goodbye. Goodbye. People in town noticed that night that the woman hadn't returned from their hike, but decided to give it another day before they informed authorities. Following day, the tour guide that they had hired reported that they had missed their appointment and contacted local authorities. On top of that, the girls' families were growing increasingly more worried when they hadn't received any phone calls or texts to check in, which they, like, always did. That was the rule. Every single day on your, you know, trip abroad, you would check in, and they stopped around that time. On April 3rd, the Panamanian authorities began their search both on foot and by aircraft. And on the 6th, the girls' families arrived with the detectives from the Netherlands to aid in the search. Theories began to emerge about what could have possibly happened to Lisanne and Chris, and their parents decided to put up a $30,000 reward for any information about their missing daughters, which I think in like the cross currency was $500,000. I could be wrong. I was listening to a podcast the other day that said that, but I haven't read that anywhere else. Okay. But that's a lot. Still, even if it was just like USD, $30,000 is a lot of money. Yeah. The search was super intensive for about 10 days. And then, you know, as with any search, as time goes on, it gets less and less. On June 14th, so about 2 months after they went missing, a local woman from the Ngobi tribe turned in a backpack that she had found by a riverbank in her rice paddy, which is like, you know, I guess where they grow rice.
I guess.
This was about 8 hours from where Lisanne and Chris were last known to be. The backpack was in very good condition, and the woman claims that it wasn't there the day before because they had recently gotten heavy rains and the backpack was completely dry and the contents weren't damaged at all. Inside the backpack was the camera, two phones, the cash, two bras, which I looked at the pictures and it kind of just looks like they're swim tops, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Everyone's like, oh my God, it's the bras. I'm like, whatever. Prudes. Two pairs of sunglasses, the water bottle, and Lisanne's passport. So just one passport. Mm-hmm. Couldn't find any info about Chris's passport, but it just sounds like it wasn't found with the backpack. And nobody talked about it, which is like really weird. The phones had remained active for several days after the women had disappeared. According to records, it looks like the phones were used repeatedly to try to contact authorities only hours into their journey. The first call was attempted at 4:39 p.m. on April 1st on Chris's phone, and then again 12 minutes later on Lisanne's phone. The phones were then both shut off for 14 hours, probably to conserve battery, and then turned back on, and several more attempts were made. They only ever managed to connect one time for 2 seconds at 6:58 a.m. the next morning. Lisanne's phone died on April 4th, so 2 days later. Chris's phone, which required two pins to open, was locked several times because her pin was incorrectly entered too many times. They tried to call for emergency services 77 times between April 7th and April 10th. So, several days after they went missing. They went missing on the 1st.
And they were already being searched for.
Yes. Yeah, and that's, like, the sad thing is they were being searched for, like, and they were still alive.
Yeah.
And they just couldn't reach out because they were in the cloud forest, and the forest is so thick, there's no service. April 11th would be the last time that her phone would be turned on, and after that day, neither phone would show any activity. So now we get to the camera that was found in the bag. Are we good?
Yeah, I'm Googling the pictures. You want me to wait?
No, go ahead. You can do it. Okay. The women's trip was well documented by them because they took pictures of everything. Social media was a thing back then, which it feels like forever ago, but it really wasn't. It's 10 years ago. They were posting about their travels the whole time. On the camera, there were 133 consecutive photos taken. At first, the photos look like your average beach vacation, and the girls are laughing and happy and smiling with a drink in hand on a sunny beach. Then we see the photos, you know, from the first part of their hike along La Pianesta Trail. You can see how thick the jungle is and how steep the climb is, and yet the girls are still happily posing with a smile on their face once they reach the summit. Then the photos change. On April 8th, so a week after they were last seen alive. Sorry, yeah, that's alive. A week after their disappearance, 90 photos were taken between 1 a.m. and 4 a.m. The photos are extremely unusual compared to the ones that were being taken before. They contain shots of the canopy above them, foliage around them, sticks wrapped in plastic, paper strewn on the dirt around them, and one picture of potentially the back of Chris's head, or some people say maybe like the front temple of her head. It's really hard to tell.
Uh-huh.
Some people think that maybe the girls were lost and were taking pictures of things that they could use as landmarks to find their way, or maybe trying to use the flash on their camera to light up their surroundings, because they were being searched for, maybe trying to signal the searchers to let them know that they were there. But, you know, we'll never know. So using the clues that they found from the camera, investigators were then able to focus on a new area to search near the Calubre River. Chris's clothes were found about a half a mile from where the backpack was located. Her clothing was on the opposite side of the river from where the photos were taken. 2 months later, a shoe was found behind the tree near the river, containing a foot and an ankle with evidence of fractures. DNA confirmed that the foot belonged to Lisanne. After that, 33 bone fragments, including half of Chris's pelvic bone and other small samples of skin, were located. Ugh. I just remembered the article that I read, and it said that, quote, a ball of shin flesh was found. And I was like, I'm not typing those words.
Oh, God. No,
ball of shin flesh. So.
So sad.
I know. Yeah. So other small samples of skin were located, some belonging to Chris and some were Lisanne's. The portion of remains found were in different stages of decomposition, so it looked like the girls had died at different times. Lisanne's bones still had some remnants of skin attached to them, so it seemed like she had died way after, where Chris's bones were so clean that people thought that they could have been chemically bleached. And there's like a lot of speculation about that, like potentially they were sitting in the sun and that the sun could have bleached them, but that's basically been debunked. So now there's like evidence that they were chemically bleached by some form of like lime mixture, but now there's like no natural, there's no natural source of lime around that area. So it's just another one of those mysteries. We won't know.
Did you
find a picture of the pelvis?
No.
Did you see the shoe?
It was hair.
The hair. You don't know what you're looking at. There's some pictures where it's like, oh yeah, that looks like it's blood, but it's so enhanced.
I don't know if you've seen this picture then. That scared me. That picture?
No. Where did you get that picture from?
That was one of the 90 pictures on their thing.
No. Save that. I need to look at that later. A Panamanian forensic anthropologist later claimed that the bones had no discernible scratches of any kind, neither of natural or cultural origin. And that basically had, this part's really interesting. To me, I don't know. I find all of this decomposition shit very interesting. Had natural decomposition of the body taken place near the river with the changing tides because of the rainy season, the bones would have sunk to the bottom of the river and would have had scratches on them from the friction of the riverbed. Furthermore, under natural decomposition, especially in someone of Chris's age, the pelvic bone would not have just snapped in half. Yet, all of the bones that they found were basically in fragments, including her pelvic bone. And that would also not likely have happened from animal predation. And also, and all of the bones, they didn't find any kind of scratches from human tools or scavenger marks. Like, no animal marks, anything, nothing.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Nothing. No scratches from the waterbed. No, nothing. Smooth. That's the freaky shit. And the bones were also missing some joint tissue that, under normal decomposition, would have likely been intact for years. So, not only were they at, like, different stages of decomposition, One of them still had skin tissue on them. One of them was completely bleached. But some of the bones that they found was missing joint tissue that should have been there. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Sorry.
Yes.
I just like confused myself in that. So, with the mysterious condition of the remains and the fact that they really only ever recovered 5 to 10% of the bodies, authorities weren't able to list cause of death. Eventually, investigators would settle with the conclusion that this was likely an accident. Here's their theory. They think that the women went out on the trails totally unprepared for the harsh conditions that they would face. Somewhere along the trail, Chris got injured. The women tried calling for help but couldn't get through. Lisanne left Chris behind to get help but didn't know where she was going and became lost. Lisanne then fell a significant distance where she sustained life-ending injury along the riverbank where the rain then spread her remains. This is what the detectives think.
The rain spread her remains.
Yep.
Okay.
All of that sounds fine and dandy, but there are valid reasons why so many people suspect something more nefarious might have happened to the women, not including the weird shit that came up when the bones were examined. So on the camera, the photos are numbered, you know, going up numerically. Picture 509 is missing. So picture 508 is one of the final pictures of the like daylight series of the camera when they're, you know, just starting out their journey. And then it immediately transitions into picture 510, mm-hmm. which is the beginning of the nighttime pictures from 8 days later. So what's interesting about this is that if the phone was deleted from the camera itself, the expert examiners would have been able to find a trace of the missing photo, but there was none. The only way to make sure that a photo like that is deleted cleanly is if it is plugged into a computer or a laptop and deleted from there. Unless there was some kind of glitch, but that is super fucking rare.
But if you were gonna like delete the pictures, why not delete all of them?
Yeah. Basically, unless just that one picture showed a suspect or, you know.
Even so, like, just delete all of them.
Right.
Oh, I don't know. And why put it back?
Why? That's the thing. Their backpack was found propped up against a tree with both of their phones in it. But we obviously know that they were, both of their phones were dead. They had to have known that they were dying. If it was them, and then they had to travel 8 miles away from where they are originally supposed to be to lay their backpack against a tree. I don't know. Or not 8 miles, 8 hours. 8 hours! It's a long fucking hike. But yeah, some people think that this missing photo could have contained some evidence of what happened on the trail that night, either an attacker or even something that just like the authorities just wanted covered up. And then the weird thing with the PIN code on Chris's phone, if Chris was injured and couldn't get to her phone to unlock it, if Lisanne was there, she could have just asked for the PIN to open the phone.
Right.
Unless Chris was so injured that she couldn't talk or was killed already. Maybe Lisanne had already left Chris to go and find help and forgot the code along the way and just kept trying different ones, hoping that the next entry would be the winning one. The other weird thing is that this is 2014, and to dial emergency services, you don't need the PIN.
Right.
So why did they keep trying the PIN to get into the phone over and over and over again?
Maybe she just didn't think about it.
Maybe.
I mean, eventually you would have figured it out, yeah. But...
I mean, like, yeah, that's true. I mean... I know that, like, when I go to, like, turn my phone off sometimes, I don't even know how to fucking turn my phone off because I just tried to do it and I was just like, what is this, fucking Siri? Get off my screen. When I go to turn my phone off, there's so many thingies that come up. Slide to call emergency services. Okay. Get off my screen. Oh, now I'm worried.
Don't call emergency services.
Anyways, there's a button that says emergency. I kind of want to hit it to see what happens, but I'm also
going
to
No, it does call. I've done it before. It calls 911, but back in 2014, that's like a lot of updates.
Yeah.
Away.
But did you need to put your PIN in? Everything that I've read said you didn't need
PIN. No, you didn't.
You just hit a fucking button.
You didn't, but you still had to hold like two buttons down. It was like, it was like holding.
So you couldn't just tap the screen and hit the emergency button.
Right. Or it was even probably when like the iPhone still had the like home key. Yeah,
she had an iPhone 4.
So it, yeah, it's probably still had that. So you had to like hold that down and a side button. It was a little bit different from powering off the phone.
Right.
Because I was thinking, oh, well, you know, they've powered off the phone, so they had to see it. But that's a new update on the phone.
Yeah.
It was a little bit different.
I don't know. But that shit just weirds me out. Like, why keep trying the passcode? What are you trying to get into the phone for?
Yeah.
Maybe to call their parents or something. I don't know. It freaks me out.
Yeah, maybe if 911 wasn't working, then they're trying other phone numbers.
Right, yeah.
Or someone else could have had their phone.
Or that's the other thing. Yeah. It's like somebody else could have had their phone. And I was like, I didn't like put this in my notes or anything, but there was like a lot of stuff about the potentially like the trail guy that they had hired. The tourist or the, yeah, the trail.
Yeah. Their guide.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Sorry. The trail guide that they had hired had had some strange reviews about like being super flirty with Northern European women and, just making them all feel super uncomfortable and, you know, carrying a big machete. But all of these reviews were written after the incident. So it could have just been, you know, people trying to like, I don't know, point fingers. But he was one of the first people to find the remains. He was like an active part of the search. He was one of the first people to find the remains. And stop looking at pictures. Sorry,
these pictures are traumatizing.
Anyway, I was gonna say, if you want to see the pictures, there's collages on YouTube, but Tamara has found a plethora on Google, which I couldn't fucking find. Do you know how long it took me to find any pictures on Google at all? Like, all of them. I wanted to see all of them.
They don't let you see all the pictures. It was like
forever.
Yeah.
But I went to Google and there was like a collage. It was like 5 minutes long and it was like, boop, picture, boop, picture, boop, picture.
Oh, man. It's just bringing me some pictures that aren't related to them, and there's definitely like a dead person in one of these pictures, like a very, so just be careful when you Google image search
when
this,
because go it, down the rabbit hole like Tamara, yeah, just has, even though she should have been listening.
I was listening. There's pictures that are not related to them in this, and it's
so, it's really upsetting. What do you think happened?
I want to believe that
it was an accident.
They got lost and there's like a paywall up to see some of these pictures, and it's really annoying.
The Daily Beast.
Yeah. Oh my God. I gotta stop Googling. These are some horrible pictures that are not even related. It's just like,
I'm like, the pictures that I saw were not gruesome, so I don't know what the fuck faces you're making.
They have like linked other like disturbing pictures in with like the Google search.
Send me those. Maybe they'll be my next story.
No, I don't know what they are. Just that large. They, as scary as it is, I mean, no, every idea is going to be terrifying because you're in the fucking jungle.
Yeah.
They got hurt. They tried to get out. And maybe someone found their stuff and kind of realized that it was related to these missing girls and maybe didn't want to be tied up to it. Like, I'm saying found their backpack.
Yeah.
And, like, placed it. And that's just, like, what I hope, and not that, like, someone was, like, trying to hurt them in the jungle.
Yeah.
Because that's...
And, like, another thing that I was looking at is, like, there's a lot of shit going on in those jungles. Women and children go missing those jungles a lot. Like... Like a lot.
So they just are like,
well, there's like a lot of stuff tied in, like with the cartels and like stuff,
being like cute young girls. So we don't hear about all the other horrible.
Basically, yeah.
And like, there's these pictures, and so it makes it like exciting, yeah. And like,
well, it had everything. It's got the cute girls from a different country, the tourists, and the mysterious clues left behind that no one can decipher. It's got everything you want. Just sucks that it's not solved.
Yeah, it's...
It sucks that, like, more of their bodies weren't found either. The thickest bone in your body is your skull. Where are their skulls? Well, we found a half a pelvis. And a foot.
Yeah.
Where's the other shoe? Where's the other shoe?
I mean, it's just, it's the jungle, right?
I hate it. Anyways, that's my story, and I'm good for 2 weeks. What? Now I get to procrastinate for 2 weeks and then suffer the day before and panic research another story, even though I tell myself I'm going to get a head start on it. I'm going to actually read a book. I'm going to read a book for this.
Yeah. No, I'm not. I don't not know how
people do this.
In 2 weeks.
I don't know how people do this.
I am down a rabbit hole looking at these pictures. This is danger.
Yeah, stop. What's your next story?
Gosh, they're just so gorgeous. I feel so bad for them and their families.
I love her red hair.
Yeah. So sad. I accidentally keep clicking on these scary pictures. Anyway, it's really sad.
Tamara's not allowed to touch her laptop in the next episode.
Gosh. Well,
I don't know.
I don't know what my next story is, but I'm excited. This was good. I don't know how to top it because it's one of my favorite stories.
You don't know how to top it? Girl, I have a whole list of fucking potential stories that I was... Never mind.
Don't give it away.
No, I have so many that I want to do, but the research is overwhelming and it scares me a lot.
Yeah.
That's why I like... Not that this was an easy thing to do, but the ones that I want to do, it's like, I'm not a detective. I'm not a crime novelist.
Wait, you're not.
I can't just copy and paste things.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. Rate and review. Subscribe. All the good stuff. Just
do whatever you want, man.
Send us your stories, your bitching, your interesting stories to
fearfulfriendspodcast@gmail.com.
All right. Until next week.
Bye-bye,
friends.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye now. Bye.